Father, once again, I thank you for your life in this life.
I thank you, Lord, that Harry, like all the rest of us, Lord, as we stay in your presence and we stay in your word, is growing and changing. And I thank you, Lord, that he's bold enough to step forth and say what you tell him to say, Lord, to give words of life to your people, Lord. We call on, once again, the anointing that you place within him, Jesus, the Anointed One. And we ask, Lord, that every word spoken would touch hearts and lives, would change lives. We won't be the same like we proclaimed at the beginning of the service. Use him mightily. Bless the people because of it. In Jesus' name, for your kingdom and your honor and glory. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Bill.
Want some more?
I've got some right there. Thank you. I thank God for people that hold their promises.
Yeah.
We've got some people here that, man, it's just so good to see. So good to see. Thank you, Zach, for coming. You filled up the whole church. That was one good crowd. Thank you. Praise the Lord. You know, last Sunday, Bill was teaching on faith. And it was good. It was something that, I don't know what it was, but there was something in the message that gave me something inside of here. And I think it was the Holy Spirit's prompting. And I pray that it is. And to see these faces, these familiar faces, including my sister, praise the Lord. Thank you.
Amen.
I couldn't have got a better sister. Now, I didn't say that when I was young. Okay, we won't go into that, right? But there were things that when we were young, we did have a closeness. We had a closeness that really gave me a lot of help. A lot of help. I had a mother that was just as beautiful as you could make them. In fact, my wife, I'm just looking at her now and I saw that picture. We have a picture of my mother that's about that big. And I looked at that and then I looked at Marie just a second ago and, boy, what a resemblance. They say that boys will always look for a girl that somewhat like their mothers. Especially if they had a good one. Especially if they had a good one. And I did. I also had a father that was very strict. Wouldn't you say something, Terry?
Yeah.
He was strict, but he had a heart for people. He had a heart for people. He was a compassionate man. And he loved beautiful things. That's why he had Terry and I. Okay. And the thing is, one of the things that my dad told me when I was young, and I believe that he was in a situation where he had some very heavy troubles. A man that came through the Russian Revolution. A man that didn't speak about his faith too much until the end. And he told me when I was young that no matter what I did, no matter who I worked for, no matter what my vocation would be, he's, if you dig a ditch, make it straight and do it honestly. In Proverbs 22:6, it says, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Now, when I start off, I wasn't that good. But those words stuck with me. And as I grew older, I tried. I tried to do my best. And it wasn't very good. Any of you guys remember Leave It to Beaver? Remember Eddie Haskell? This is I. That's me. Zach? Oh, we're having true confessions here. But when I was growing up, I think that's why you and I sort of come together very quickly and enjoy each other's company. And I talked to Zach a little bit on Wednesday night, and boy, I'll tell you, it was amazing how we just hit it off. Yeah, I was an Eddie Haskell. I was a troublemaker. You don't have to hang your head in shame. You know. It was with me. It was problems right from the beginning. Terry can tell you that I had a lot of strange things going on with me. But my dad taught me that he wanted to teach me the truth. And when I went into the Air Force, he gave me a small Bible, New Testament. And on the front it says, "To my son Harry Clausen, in the final analysis, this is the only truth in which we can believe." And it was dated October 1951. Now, I'm not dating myself, but I'm almost 80. But my sister's older than I am. Terry, you don't know how much I love you. And I love teasing you. But it's for your good. There was also, when we began a study on what Joseph went through and the traveling that he did, how he moved from being a child and growing up and being sold into slavery by his brothers, and all these steps that he went through life. I mean, we've gone through this in our church about a dozen times, I guess. Huh? But it's to remind you that no matter what steps you have taken, they are for your good. And I'll prove it to you. Because God doesn't lie. It says in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Young ones, listen. It's to give you hope and a future. You older ones can have the same thing. You hang on to it. And then it says, "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." What more do you want? Except except that the creator of this universe could come down and say, "I'll listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from the captivity that was called the enemy." Robbie, you and I have heard of, felt a lot of things like this. You and I have gone through a couple things. And we can relate to this very easily. So, what are we going to talk about today? I'm going to tell you a story. And it's a story that I'm not really too anxious to tell. I've gone through it a few times in my mind, and every time I do, it gives me how did I get through this? But I will give you a story that I want you to listen to, and it's an experience that I went through. As I told you, I was in the Air Force. I joined the Air Force, much to my father's wishes, against his wishes. He wanted a lot more for me, he thought, and for me it was something else. It was something that I had to do. Terry understands. My mother I think my mother understood. I hope she did. Anyways, this happened many years ago, about 1953. I was stationed in England in the Royal Canadian Air Force, and I was at a base called North Luffenham in Rutland County. It's about in the Midlands. And I was a radar inspector. I was inspecting radar gun sights, making sure that they were, everything was perfect when the aircraft took off. Everything was okay. It was late one Friday afternoon. And here we go. And I was working on some aircraft. It was about 4:30, 5 o'clock. And I had a date. Young guys. I had this date. It was on Friday evening. And I thought, oh man, yep, it's going to be fun tonight. It's going to be fun. Going out with a bunch of kids. Bunch of guys. We've got girls, and we're going to go to a movie. And as I was closing up this one aircraft, the last aircraft, I was closing up and taking all the... Okay, I better explain something here about the radar. Radar is checked with very many electronic instruments. And this one had what they call a shorting plug. And beside in the cockpit, beside the pilot, there's this big plug. And it has to be in there so that the radar can work its way through the whole maze of wiring. But when you test it, you take that plug off and you plug in the equipment. And then there's three or four other cables that have to be connected up to the console of the radar, of the jet console. This is on the Sabre jets. And I've got a water here. And all these jets, they have a radar, a gun sight, a bomb sight, so that they can even do rocket work, rocket launching. But this time I was going at it, working my day, little day off, getting it to the end, anticipating something else other than finishing my work. The weekend went fine. Everything went good. I had a good time. Movies on Friday night and dancing on Saturday night and living the life of a 24-year-old, 22-year-old. Came to work next Monday. And the aircraft were all lined up. We all got out there and we're all starting these jets. And they all took off. You know, they flew over the beautiful formation and away they went to their mission to bombing practice, gun strafing, all the stuff that those guys did. And I thought, oh man, I'd sure like to be up there with those guys. But being a ground crew man, I stayed on the ground. The aircraft took off. We went back in the hangar. We worked on the aircraft that were damaged or whatever needed repairs. Inspections, all these different hours of inspections that we had to do. And about 15 minutes later, one aircraft could be heard. So they went out and looked around and they said, oh yeah, 439 Squadron, that's what I was attached to, 439 Squadron, there comes an aircraft. He came back and we didn't think anything of it. We thought, well, probably engine trouble, maybe whatever. So it didn't concern any of us guys in the hangar, so we just kept on working. About 15 minutes later, Sergeant Bildadoo came up to me and he says, Harry, yeah, he says, Squadron Leader Cal Bricker wants to see you. Oh, okay. I thought, how does he know me? You know, I don't even know him, he doesn't know me, so why should he want me, you know? So I walked in there and had this cocky little attitude of mine. Just a joker all the time, you know, always fooling around. And I walked in, I says, saluted him, and I says, did you want to see me, sir? And he says, yeah. And he says, pointed to this piece of paper, he says, is that your signature on this inspection? Looked at him, yep, yeah, yes, sir, that's mine. And he says, you've got a problem. And I says, oh. And on the corner of my eye, I see this guy come walking out from another room. And it's Lieutenant Weens. If he ever hears this thing, I hope he hears it. And he comes out and he is livid. He's about as red as that suit of Karen's. I mean, he is almost purple with rage. And Caleb, and he come in and he started in and saying, I want this man off this property, out of this hangar. I'm like, whoa, why? What's going on? And Caleb Ricker reaches down on the floor and he picks up and he puts his shorting plug. Now this shorting plug is about that tall, about that big around, weighs about a pound. I thought, what's with this? And I said, what's the problem? What happened? I said, what's it doing here? And he says, and then Cal Bricker said, I'm going to speak for Lieutenant Weens. He's too angry to talk right now. And he's told to Weens, he says, quiet. He turned to me and he says, this plug came off while Mr. Weens, while Flight Lieutenant Weens was in a maneuver. He rolled his aircraft and he stayed upside down and all of a sudden his plug came on the lying and was rolling on the canopy. I says, what? And I thought, somebody's playing games. I thought that somebody had taken this thing off and loosened it up, or he did it himself, or whatever. But there's no way that that plug could come off. So he grabbed it, and lucky for us, lucky for him, lucky for me, lucky for everybody, but that thing didn't go through the canopy, which is a plexiglass dome. You know. So I thought, well, can't be. Just can't be. So he took this thing and he put it between his leg and his lap and he came back. And this is where the story starts. And I said, okay. And Cal Bricker, the squadron leader Cal Bricker, isn't that a good name for a squadron leader? Sounds like a movie scene, doesn't it? So he said, you'll be hearing about this. He says, this is enough for a court-martial. And I went weak. I went as white as a sheet. I says, court-martial? Yeah. And I was starting to get a little bit scared. And I thought, hey, this is serious. These guys aren't playing games. And it ain't a movie. So it's not a dream. It ain't a movie. It's got to be dead serious. Okay, so about 2 or 3 days later, now by this time, none of the guys are talking to me anymore. There's nobody to talk to. And I'm wondering, what am I going to do now? What do I do? Who do I turn to? Had I known the Lord at that time, if I had made a serious investigation of who God really is and who Jesus really is, I would have had somebody to talk to. Because there was nobody on that station. The chaplain? I didn't know there was a chaplain on the station. And if he was on the station, would I have known if I would have known him, would he have been the... Could I talk to him? I doubt it. I doubt it at that time. So I was told that these charges will be coming up and there will be a court-martial. The next few days, I guarantee you, they were anguish, despair, despondency, you name it. All these things came through my mind. They were building up inside of me. And then all of a sudden, I got a call. Please report to Group Captain Hale's office, the commanding officer of the station. So I went over there. I walked over there. Now, in my mind's eye, I saw my mother and my father. My dad, I could see him. Yeah, I told you. That's exactly what you're going to do. That's the kind of thing, right, Terry? These are the kind of things my dad would say. I walked over to the commanding officer's headquarters. And these feelings are coming back to me. I'm sorry. I was scared out of my wits. I had nothing to turn to. Nobody to talk to. Like I said, I was totally alone. Even the guys that were with me on the same group in the barracks, it was very quiet. The barracks were very quiet, and I've never heard them that quiet for 3 or 4 days. They were totally dead serious. They knew what I was going through. They knew what I was going through, because they were scared for me. But none of us could really talk about it together. Now, Group Captain Hale is his name, H-A-L-E. I have to say that he's a very fair man and a very good man. And he cared about people. And he was, I wish I had a picture of all these guys, because they were typical, they were just typical movie type guys. Good looking. Group Captain Hale was a handsome man, very handsome man. And I walked into the headquarters office. And this warrant officer sitting there, he says, can I help you? I just wish he could. I says, I'm Harry Clausen. I'm supposed to see Group Captain Hale. And he says, yeah. He says, just a minute. So he walked in the office. It was quiet for about 5 minutes. I'm standing out there waiting. What now? What now? You know. And he says, he opened the door and he says, come on in. Come in. He says, oh, I walked in and he held the door open for me and then he closed the door behind me. And here's this desk, long desk. And Group Captain Hale sitting in the middle. Squadron Leader Brooker was on his left, on his right. And then it was all these other squadron leaders and administration people. And he says, he's Harry Clausen. I said, yes, sir. Air Craftsman, first class? Yep. Yes, sir. He says, I've got some charges here. He says, I'll read them to you. So he read the charges to me. Dereliction of duty, negligence of duty. I mean, you name it. I don't remember the rest of them either. It was crazy, insane. And he says, we're going to give you a few minutes. And he says, this gentleman here, we pointed to his flying officer. I never met him before. I never saw him before. He'll be your advocate. Oh, okay. I thought, advocate? What's that all about? What are they talking about here? So we were left into it. We were allowed to go into this one room. And he says, I'm so-and-so. And he says, I'm with 411 Squadron. And I says, I don't know what I'm going to help, how I can help you with this charge. And I said, I don't think there's anything you can do. He said, we've got to come up with a defense for these charges. And I said, a defense. I said, okay. I said, what do you think we should do? He says, well, you tell me what you want to say. He says, what's your excuse? Excuse? I didn't have any excuse. And he says, well, he says, we got to go in there with something. And I says, well, how much time have we got? He says, an hour. And I says, we can sit here and drink a cup of coffee. And I says, that's about all I can say. I have no excuse. I don't know how to come out of this. I don't know what to tell him. I says, I've never been in this position before. What do I say? He says, well, you better come up with a good story. Good story. What kind of a story can I come up with? So we sat there and we talked a bit. He says, how about if we say that the equipment is made of pot metal. It's made of very light material. It's made of aluminum and I don't know what else, but it's probably just plain aluminum. But it's a very soft aluminum. And the threads are very, very fine threads on this plug. He says, maybe we could say that the threads were damaged and you couldn't get it on properly. Okay, whatever you think. Yeah. He's an officer. He's one of the pilots. After about a few minutes, I said, let's go back in there. I said, let's get this over with. Okay. He knocked on the door, and they said, come in. So he opened the door, and we walk in. They told me to sit down and let the officer speak for me. Okay, go ahead. So he started talking. He says, well, sir, we have come to the conclusion that this is a defensible situation, and blah, 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 blah. And he started in, and I said, wait, whoa, 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 hold it, hold it. I says, please. I says, officer so-and-so, I says, it's better you just not say anything. And Group Captain Hill said, why? I said, if he says anything, it's just excuses and not the reason. And I thought, oh my Lord, what am I doing? And he says, well, would you like to stand up and tell us the reason for this problem? I says, yes, sir. The officer sat down. I stood up. I walked into the center of the room, and I looked at him, and I says, Group Captain Hale, I says, here is the reason for the failure. And I says, I had a date on Friday night, and I, at least the last thing I was interested in was working on an aircraft. I said, I understand the severity of the charges, but I said, there is no excuse except dereliction of duty. It was my fault, not anything else that they, not that what the aircraft was built and how the thing was made. It had nothing to do with that. I said, it's here. Here's the blame. And I could hear this officer. He said, I could hear him going, I hope it's not on his record. I said, okay. Group Captain Hill looked at me and says, and that's it? I said, sad to say, that's it. Nothing else. So he says, okay, Harry. He says, go back to your duties. I'll be in touch with you when I decide what the outcome is going to be of these charges. Okay. I turned around. I saluted. I turned around. I walked out. And I am feeling like a bowl of mush. Nobody to talk to. Desolation. All I want to do is just fall on the ground and cry. The officer that I walked out with, he closed the door behind me. He says, buddy, you just hung yourself. I looked at him and I said, so be it. If that's what it's got to be, let them figure out what they want to do. Now, I went back to the barracks. I couldn't face those guys at the barracks, in the hangar. I couldn't face them. I went back to the barracks. I put my face down on the pillow, wrapped that pillow around my head, and just screamed as hard as I could. I wanted to get rid of this pressure inside of me. I couldn't. That pressure was still there, and it was just, God, get me out of this. God, get me out of this. And I didn't. Of course, I'm not a Christian. I had no reason to call on my God. Or did I? What do people do without God? What do people do without God? I found out what people do without God. It's horrible. It's a horrible life. You can't turn to anybody. You can't say anything. You can't talk to Jesus. You can't talk to anybody. And then if anybody did listen to you, they'd say, well, let's have a beer and we'll talk about it. That's what you get on the outside. I went back to the hangar after about a day. The next day I went to the hangar. Worked with the guys. Nobody, how you doing? I'm doing fine. Okay, I'm doing okay. Okay. What a lonely place to be. 3 days later, I'm working on an aircraft. And the officer of our department came up and says, Harry, Yeah, I says, he says, Group Captain Hill wants you to come right away. Oh, God. Oh, please, Lord, no. let me find a hole and I can crawl into it. I walk down to the hangar, crying, wondering what my dad would say. I wouldn't even go back home. I wouldn't go back home. I'd find some other place to live. If they kicked me out of the Air Force, that's fine. If they put me in the brig at Barrie, Ontario, that's fine. But I'll never see my dad and mom again. Or my sister. Or my friends. Because I could not face these people. I couldn't face them. So I walked over to the barracks, over to the headquarters building. And I walked in, and this warrant officer sitting there at the table, and he says, yeah, and he says, Harry. I says, yeah. He says, Group Captain Hill wants to see you. And I says, yeah, I suppose. That's a typical, did you know that that's a typical Canadian answer? I suppose. I suppose. That's as bad as, eh? Which is very typical Canadian. Anyways, I walked into the office. He says, Harry, come in, come in. Why don't you sit down? And I thought, boy, I'd better sit down because I can't stand anymore. I walked in, and he says, I've come to a conclusion. I've come to a determination. And I looked at this guy, and I thought, what a beautiful place to be. What a beautiful position for him to be in. Good looking, stands up straight, good pilot. Commander of the station like this, you know, all the good bunch of guys, you know. And he says, Harry, he says, we all came to the same conclusion, all the officers, we all came to the same conclusion. And he says, I'm going to have you do something. And I thought, oh man, what am I going to be doing? And I said, well, I said, sir, I said, whatever you've determined, I said, I guess I deserve it. Oh, yeah, yeah. He says, you deserve it, all right. We are recommending you for officer school. What? Who? What? Officer school? I said, what are you talking about? He says, you're the first man that ever came into my office in all the years of my service in the Canadian Air Force. You're the first man that came in and said, it's my fault. I said, what? It was. Whoa. What are you talking about? What's going on? Now this time I got tears coming out of my eyes. He said, Harry, it's nothing to worry about. You're going to go to school. We're setting up a school. We're setting up a school for about 5 or 6 of you guys. And you're going to study for the next 4 weeks. You're going to be studying from 5 o'clock. You grab a quick lunch, and you run over to the schoolroom, and you'll sit there for another 3 or 4 hours a day, every day, and you're going to study. I want to see what you've got in your head. I said, what a nonsense. I said, I don't think I've got any officer material in this head of mine. He said, we'll see. We'll see. Went to school for 4 weeks. I'm studying like mad. I don't understand what's going on. I'm totally dazed. And I said, okay, we'll study. I wrote my tests. Everything passed. I passed everything with no problem. And he called me back in his office after the 4 weeks. He says, Harry, I knew it. I just knew it. He says, you're a candidate for officer's candidate school. I says, I don't understand. He says, I've never met an honest man before that's in trouble. He says, usually they lie and cheat and steal and tell all kinds of stories. But he says, you wouldn't even allow the flying officer that was your advocate to lie for you. He says, you wouldn't even let him do it. I says, no, I couldn't do that to a guy. He says, that's what I mean. Officer's candidate's good for you, buddy. He said, pack your bags, you're leaving tomorrow night. out of England. Gone. I'm telling you, folks, if you walk, I think you guys are one of the luckiest guys right here. You're not lucky, blessed. But you have the opportunity to walk with the Lord in such a way that He can't get into trouble like I did. Was this a step? Was this a step in my direction? Is this in the plan of the Lord? No? Yeah. It was a plan of the Lord. Although I was going to be court-martialed, I had all the rights to be court-martialed. God didn't allow it. He gave that group Captain Hill and the squadron leaders some kind of an understanding that I couldn't even understand. Praise the Lord. God, bless the Lord of my soul and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Let Him be exalted. Let Him be exalted. It doesn't happen to everybody. I hope it doesn't. But there is a way that you can come through a lot of adversity. And that is with the name of the Lord on your lips all the time. Read your Bible. Read your Word. Read the Word. Go to church every Sunday. At least every Sunday. Study the Word. And I'll guarantee you, you'll find things in there that are beyond gold and diamonds.
Yes. Amen.
Beyond it all.
Amen.
He has so much in store for you.
Yes.
Zach, walk the road that you've given to walk. Walk it honestly. Walk it in truth and in the Spirit of the Almighty God, and you'll have an enjoyable life. Every one of you guys, every one of you, both of you. It's good to see you here. This is a story, this story was meant for you young fellows. I know it now. It's all in here. I can feel it. I know it. It's for you and everybody here, but mostly for the young ones. When you walk in the presence of the Lord and you walk in the face of God, please, Jan. I'm almost finished here. Now, I don't know if any of you here that really can understand what a person will go through when he goes into some kind of trouble. I've tried to explain to you what fear. Love casts out all fear.
Yes.
That comes from God.
Yes.
Love casts out all fear. Praise the Lord. Now I'm going to ask anybody here, do you know the Lord? Do you know Jesus in your heart? Do you have Him in your life? Morning till night. I can ask you to come forward. We'll pray for you if you want Jesus in your life. There is so much that He has for you. He knows the steps. He has your steps ordered.
That's right.
Praise God. You see how close it came, Terry? That's just one story. Eddie Haskell's don't have just one story. Right, Zach? Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Praise God. I love you people. Robbie, I love your family. They've always been close to my heart when I first met you. You and Caroline. You're beautiful people. Every one of you girls, Brittany, Shannon, Caleb, you're beautiful girls. You're growing up.
You're growing up to be beautiful ladies. Walk the walk that Jesus has given you. Walk the walk that God has aimed for you. It's true. You're beautiful kids. I had a few jokes here, but I was going to tell them at the beginning, but it's not joke time. Couldn't do it. Somehow it just didn't fit. Do you know how close you are to eternal life? That far. Eternal life is not that far away from us. God has got something for you, and all He wants to do is bless you and bless you and bless you. All through the Bible, there's promises of blessings. Not cursings, but blessings. I know the steps I have for you, says the Lord. They are for good and not for evil. I think that's enough. It's enough for me. I don't want to go any further. All I want to do is say thank you. I pray that you've got something out of this. Because there is so much more to come. So much more to come.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
See, without God, it's hopeless. With God, you have hope. When you know the Lord, you can call on Him in the time of trouble. He will show you great and mighty things that you don't even know.
Don't leave this place without God.
Amen. The biggest mistake you can make, you know, if you come here and you meet some of us and you leave here and you forget us, you've lost nothing. But you've been introduced to the one who's higher than we are. The one who has the answers, the one who paid the price. For you, the one who wants to give you that hope and future.
Amen. Amen.
I know the thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord. Your thoughts for good and not for evil. Your thoughts to prosper and not to harm you. And to give you a hope and future. God turns those things which are meant for your harm and your destruction, even if they're your fault, good. Now, I can't explain that to you. I just know it's the truth. I just know it's the truth. Harry and I are not young men anymore. And I can tell you, in all the years that I've served the Lord since I was 13 years old, God has never forsaken me. He's never failed me. He's never failed here. But I can understand that despair. I can understand that. When you do something that defies all logic, you didn't even know you did. And then when you deserve the punishment you got, or that was there for you, God says, no, I got a different plan. I got hope in that future. Amen.
Amen. I've got a little bit of an epilogue here. When I went back to the hangar to work on the aircraft, one of the fellows came up and he says, "What's going to happen?" And I told him, I says, "Well, I says I've been recommended for officer school." Yeah, right.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, right. I'm not kidding you. That's what happened. The guy says, "You did that and you get the officer? Is that the kind of officers we got?" And I says, "Go out and kick a tire, you might become an officer." Yeah.
And if I had known God right then, I could have said, fellas, this is exactly what God has planned for all of you.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it. I didn't know Jesus. Not until I met that pretty little girl that's called Marie. Then I started turning around. I thought, well, now I know who God is. Watching her. Amazing. You guys got a future.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. You've got a future.
You know, the Bible says that he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Never. All it takes is giving your life to him. And in so doing, you gain life. You haven't lost a thing, you've gained life. And that more abundantly. Amen. Praise the Lord. God's good all the time, and all the time God is good. And he has plans and thoughts for you. And even in the midst of calamities, he can show you great and mighty things that you don't even know. They're far beyond what you could ask or think. Now, I don't know about you, but when I weigh in the balances, serve God or not serve God, scales tipped. There's no way to deny it. There's no way to deny it. He's real. And I'm telling you, when you are going through any situation, you know, we talked about last Sunday, faith is not faith until it's all that you're hanging on to. Did you hear what I said? Faith is not faith until it's all you're hanging on to. I've walked out some things. Maybe not the same kind of things as Harry, but I can identify with it. I was young and dumb once too. In fact, I'll be honest with you, I don't think smart hit me until I was about 40, 45 years old. And it's still working on me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But I can tell you that I have lost nothing by turning from the life that was before me without God. And I have gained everything because of the life that I now have in God. What are you talking about, Bill? I can tell you when I was out of a job, when I didn't know where my money was coming from, where my next meal was coming from, my daughter and granddaughter were living with me, and God supernaturally came through. Your Bible says that you've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. The only place I had to go was to God. That's the only place. And he's never, ever once failed me. And he wants to do the same for you. His plan is good for you. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care what you think your background is or what you're going through your mind right now. You haven't done anything so terrible that God can't reach in and make it right. Think about that for a few minutes now. Don't let that just kind of skate over your head, slip over your head. You haven't done anything that's beyond his ability to reach. He's faithful. His word is faithful and true. Our Redeemer. He's a Redeemer. He's into restoration and reconciliation. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. I want to open this up and tell you that if there's anybody that needs prayer for anything this morning, we're ready and willing to pray. But I'm going to tell you right now,
if you want an answer, I mean, if you're not expecting an answer, don't come and ask for prayer, because God does things when we pray around here. Amen? Because we believe Him. We've proved Him. We've tested Him. We've walked it out in our lives and seen God do supernatural things. I'm going to leave you with just one more thought. I've told this to these folks. I'll tell it to you all now. There's not a day goes by that I don't anticipate the inevitable. Listen to me carefully. The inevitable supernatural intervention of God in my life. Because I'm so worthy? Oh, no. No, no, no. But it's because I've given my life to the one who gave His life for me. I owed a debt that I couldn't pay. And He paid a debt that He did not owe. And in giving up my life for His plan and will, I've gained life, and that more abundantly. And that's what He wants. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Real quickly, if there's nobody that needs prayer, if all hearts are clear, we didn't have the announcements this morning. Basically, the week is the same as always. The 15th, we have men's breakfast at the Valley Inn. Is that right, Harry? Praise the Lord. I invite all of you men, you young guys, come. We have a good time just fellowshipping. You know, fellowship, just two fellows in the same ship, that's all. Amen. God's good. Anyway, we have fellowship after this service. We'd like to get to know you. We know some of these folks, but some of you don't know. We just got some goodies back there just so we can get acquainted and have a little snack. How many are blessed for having been here today? Thank you, Harry. Listening and obeying the Holy Spirit. Listening to and obeying the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. See, it doesn't make any difference. When it looks hopeless, then that's when you're supposed to cry out to the Lord, to the hills. Look to the hills from whence comes your help. Your help comes from the Lord. But I can't think of any greater hopelessness than being in a situation like that. Maybe you've been in a situation like that. Maybe not identical, but where you felt like, what do I do now? There's no one. Amen? He's a friend that sticks close on the brother. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And nothing can pull you out of His hand. Whew, missed a good place to shout. Amen? God's good, right? Stand with me. Stand with me. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You, Lord, that You kept Your word today. You proved Yourself through what was said today. Now, Lord, let Your word be sealed in every heart. Let it bring forth fruit. We thank You that when Your word goes forward, it accomplishes what it's sent to do, and it does not return void. We give You praise and honor and glory for that. Now, I ask You to bless each one of these people. I pray, Lord, that the decisions they make would be based on their conversation with You and not of their own will, but because they've sought the One who is and who gives wisdom and insight and understanding. We give You praise and honor and glory today. Now, Lord, we ask You to bless the food, bless the fellowship. We ask that You would be the center of it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.